This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily via the internet address www.parstoday.com/en. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Intelsat 902, and Eutelsat satellite, as well as via internet. You can also listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for more details.
And now we enlighten you with Ayah 260 to 263 of Surah Baqarah, recited by Shahriyar Parhizgar.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّ أَرِنِي كَيْفَ تُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى قَالَ أَوَلَمْ تُؤْمِنْ قَالَ بَلَى وَلَكِنْ لِيَطْمَئِنَّ قَلْبِي قال فخذ أربعة من الطير فصرهن إليك ثم اجعل على كل جبل منهن جزءا ثم ادعهن يأتينك سعيا واعلم أن الله عزيز حكيم مثل الذين ينفقون أموالهم في سبيل الله كمثل حبة أنبتت سبع سنابل في كل سنبلة 100 حبة والله يضاعف لمن يشاء والله واسع عليم الذين ينفقون أموالهم في سبيل الله ثم لا يتبعون ما أنفقوا منا ولا أذى لهم أجرهم عند ربهم ولا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون قول معروف ومغفرة خير من صدقة يتبعها أذى والله غني حليم.
In the name of Allah, and when Abraham said, My Lord, show me how you revive the dead. He said, Do you not believe? He said, Yes, indeed, but in order that my heart may be at rest. He said, Take 4 of the birds, then cut them into pieces, and place a part of them on every mountain. Then call them, they will come to you, hastening, and know that Allah is Almighty and All-Wise. Those who spend their wealth in the way of Allah and then do not follow what they have spent with reproaches and affronts, they shall have their reward near their Lord, and they will have no fear, nor will they grieve. An honorable word with pardon is better than a charity followed by affront, and Allah is all sufficient, most forbearing.
This is the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, FM, and satellites. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAD 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is iranradio.ir. And now you can listen to Arabi English radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Now from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story.
What is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me bring in Leo Sazdi. He's a professor of international.
The Spotlight.
Hello and welcome to Spotlight. The newest economic data shows U.S. households are facing rising costs and a weakening job market as unemployment climbs and key industries are shedding workers. Analysts say the strain is being compounded by Donald Trump's tariff-driven prices, which are pushing everyday expenses higher for families nationwide.
The latest U.S. jobs reports paints a bleak portrait of the American economy under President Donald Trump. Newly released data showed the unemployment rate climbed to 4.4% in September, its highest level since October 2021, signaling a labor market losing momentum. Industries once considered pillars of the American economy are faltering. Transportation and warehousing shed more than 25,000 jobs, while manufacturing lost another 6,000 positions. The report itself was delayed for weeks due to the government shutdown, a disruption triggered by political brinkmanship in Washington. Its release now lands alongside troubling inflation data. Manual inflation in September reached its highest reading since January, confirming that prices are accelerating at their fastest pace of the year. Economists point to one major culprit behind rising costs: Trump's aggressive and increasingly erratic tariff regime. Since returning to office, he has slapped steep import taxes on goods from dozens of countries, including long-standing allies. Instead of reviving American industry, the tariffs have pushed production costs upward and left consumers footing the bill. Trump had promised Americans that prices would fall on day one of his presidency. Instead, a clear majority now report that their expenses have surged. Despite Trump's repeated insistence that there is virtually no inflation, a new Harris poll shows Americans continuing to feel financial strain and growing more pessimistic about the economic direction of the country. The data underscore their frustration. The typical American household now spends $208 more dollars every month just to purchase the same basket of goods and services as a year earlier, and more than $1,000 more per month compared with early 2021 when the nation was emerging from the pandemic. Now, many analysts believe that if the Trump administration continues doubling down on these policies, the financial pressure will only spread. Higher prices, fewer job opportunities, and a shrinking margin of stability for millions of households already stretched thin.
Well, here are our guests joining us for tonight's edition of Spotlight. Political activist and attorney Robert Petillo, joining us from Washington, D.C. And we also have researcher and commentator Clive Menzies, who's with us from the British capital, London. Gentlemen, welcome to the program. Let's start off with Mr. Petillo in Washington. New data shows the unemployment rate climbed 4.4% in September, its highest level since October of 2021, which in fact paints a bleak portrait of the American economy and a labor market that seems to be losing momentum. How do you read into this this new data report?
Well, the data actually is probably significantly worse than even that. I want people to remember that over the summer, President Trump did not like the jobs numbers being revised down, so he fired the person who's in charge of gathering that data at the federal level and replaced it with a Trump loyalist. And all of a sudden, the jobs numbers increased from 20,000 jobs being created in June to all of a sudden 144,000. So there's a very good chance these numbers are completely imaginary and that the jobs outlook is actually far worse than what we're seeing. And when you take billions of dollars out of the economy through this tariff regime, which is completely nonsensical, and combine that with the immigration raids and mass deportations that are affecting our manufacturing industry, that is affecting hospitality, that is affecting our agricultural industry, they're putting new requirements in place for truck drivers, creating a driver shortage. So the Trump economic policies are very clearly the driving factor between the what the weakening economic aspects of America, and unless they change course, we could be in a very dire situation in Q1 next year.
Mr. Menzies, we see the unemployment rate going up even with the number of jobs added. So what are the numbers not telling us here?
Well, I think this needs to be put in the much greater context of the 2008 financial crash, which was never really addressed. The thing about our debt-based money system is that it needs a reset regularly, which is why there used to be debt jubilees. In the 20th century, resets were characterized by depression in the 1930s and bouts of recession, particularly in the UK, which is where my experience has mainly been throughout my life. But looking at the global economy, we produced a paper in 2017, which was published in the Islamic Economics Journal of King Abdulaziz University, where we've been predicting this financial crash because the problems that arose during the subprime crisis of over-debtedness and the system needing a reset, if anything, they're more acute now. And this economic collapse, I think when the tariffs were first imposed earlier this year, we said this could well be a trigger for economic collapse because clearly it's yet another problem that people have to face. I think it's also worth looking at the actual numbers that are always published because most governments in the West have been understating unemployment and inflation for a long, long time. They've been overstating growth as a result, but essentially, the economies have been hollowed out. There's been corporate greed, so there is more and more extraction of resources and energy from people in terms of price increases that are never reflected in the inflation statistics. I would argue that the unemployment rate doesn't reflect all the people who have effectively been ignored in all this, people who, for whatever reason, can't work because of the way the economy has changed. I mean, America, which is ostensibly one of the richest countries in the world, has a huge sort of population, homeless population problem, as well as, I can't remember the numbers, but millions on food stamps. So this is not, you know, a recent Trump originated problem. It may well be exacerbated by his recklessness in applying sanctions here, there, and everywhere. Trade wars are never good for anyone. But the wider context is that the economy is in a slow-motion train crash, and it's now accelerating. One indicator is the price of gold. And when we first started talking about when economic collapse comes, the gold price would start to rise, it was trading not far above $1,000 an ounce. In the last 5 years, it's doubled, and it's around $4,000 an ounce. That's in spite of vast manipulation of the gold market, a huge overhang of paper assets representing gold, but not real gold. In other words, for every ounce of gold that is traded, there is maybe more than 200 ounces actually traded on the back of that 1 ounce. So clearly,
let's put a pause there and let's bring Mr. Patillo back in on the discussion.
That will be exacerbated.
Sure, that was a very detailed account by Mr. Menzies. Robert Patillo, New Harris Poll. It shows Americans are continuing to feel financial strain or growing more pessimistic about the economic direction of the country. What level of alarm should this be raising at the Trump White House that actually ran on a promise of affordability?
This would be a five-alarm fire. Remember that this issue is what brought down the Biden presidency, that the fact that he could not get inflation under control, they could not get economic growth under control, and people felt like the economy was sputtering and it would do better under Trump. Ultimately, that's what ended the Biden presidency above all else. There was the distrust of the Biden economic policies that cost Kamala Harris in large part the last election. However, if you look at the U.S. economy right now, there are seven companies passing billions of dollars back and forth that are propping up the market. The AI startups, the NVIDIAs of the world, the Magnificent Seven, these companies are essentially floating the American economy right now. So the stock market and the economic numbers look better than they are because you have these massive investments into AI, massive investments into data centers, this regulatory framework that the Trump administration put in, where there essentially is no regulation on these AI companies. And so for regular, everyday working people, they're not privy to that part of the economy. They're not privy to the benefits thereof. And so you have a two-tiered economy. You're seeing a K-shaped economic development where the people at the bottom of the economy are sinking lower, the people at the top of the economy are rising higher. And when you have that level of income inequality and that distribution of wealth in the nation, that always leads to political problems and ultimately revolutions.
Mr. Menzies, economists point to one major culprit behind the rising costs, and that's Trump's aggressive and also increasingly erratic tariff regime. In your opinion, have the tariffs done more harm than good on prices?
Your sound is breaking up, so I didn't get the whole of the question, but you're asking what is the significance of the tariffs in all this. I think undoubtedly they are exacerbating already fragile situation, but I think it's not accurate to say that Trump's erratic behavior is causing all of these problems. I think it's causing many problems in the world, but I'm not sure it's the root cause of the economic situation, which is deep rooted in the structure and has been for decades, if not centuries. That our debt-based money system is coming to the end of its useful purpose. I think it's also worth, your other guest made the comment about NVIDIA and AI companies attracting millions or trillions of investment. There are effectively two economies, and what became clear in the subprime crisis of 2008, that all of the money that was being created and sucked in the TARP relief and the bank bailouts actually went into asset prices. So this has been a process that has been ongoing. If you track the S&P 500 against central bank intervention, every time there was weakness in the market, the central bank would intervene, and that would end up in asset prices. So you cited earlier the real problems faced by people with the rise of the cost of their weekly shopping or monthly shopping basket. That is almost divorced from the whole financial system in terms of the speculation and the asset bubbles that form. And people are calling the current AI investment boom a bubble and calling the top. But I think in the same way that the subprime crisis was an inevitable requirement to try and rebalance this crazy system that we have of debt-based money. And so I think that, you know, whilst the tariffs may, when we look back, have been the trigger, I think the inevitability of this collapse is not caused by some political action or other. It's caused by the structural nature of the problem we face, and the bank bailouts and everything that followed, where effectively the criminals are still in charge of the casino that they were in charge of in 2008. And arguably the problems today are much worse than they were back then.
Mr. Patillo, staying with the issue of tariffs, instead of reviving American industry, the tariffs have actually pushed production costs upward and left consumers footing the bill. Unpack for us what the end game is with regards to the tariffs.
The tariffs are more of a power move than an economic move. President Trump is using them as a weapon of diplomacy and a weapon of war against other nations. It's not about whether or not they actually have any economic output. It's about forcing other nations to the negotiating table, and then bringing in these trade deals that he signs every few months in exchange for tariff relief. It's very much almost a mobster mentality when it comes to how they're using the tariffs. There's no economic model that tells you that you put 145% tariff on one of your largest trading partners and things get better. That doesn't make sense. But if you can use a 145% tariff against China to bring them to the table to sign a new deal to provide rare earth minerals that can then be put into microchip manufacturing for, again, those big seven companies that are investing in these areas, well, then now you start seeing what this is more so about. It has nothing to do with the majority of American people. It's about the Trump administration being sure that they are using every tool possible to prop up the millionaires and billionaires who supported his candidacy and who made sure he got back into office. So the tariff policies are less about the rest of America and more about those top seven companies and those people who have invested in President Trump.
Clive Menzies, Trump promised Americans that prices would fall on day one of his presidency. And now we know annual inflation in September reached its highest reading since January, confirming the prices are accelerating at their fastest pace of the year. So the question is, what happens if the Trump administration continues doubling down on these policies?
Well, clearly it's not going to improve things if nothing changes. I think it's also worth, one of the things that we haven't touched on is the sort of political dimension of all of this in terms of what the relative power, economic power of BRICS and the relative importance of BRICS, because one of the things that Trump's aggressive moves against China and other countries is to actually get the BRICS to actually accelerate or expand their activities between them. So to some extent, in global terms, the America or the Trump administration has shot itself in the foot, because in promoting this trade war, I suspect that they will suffer more because of their isolation from BRICS than, and you know, given the parlous state of the UK and Western Europe at the moment, I mean, Germany is struggling. So, you know, Trump may want to favour his friends, but he seems to have issued tariffs against almost everyone, friend and foe alike. So I think the only one thing that one can predict with Trump is that he is unpredictable, and who knows where they go from here. if they do double down, then it's clearly not going to help. But I suspect that other factors that I've alluded to earlier in terms of the structural nature of the problem will make what they do largely irrelevant anyway.
Robert Petillo, the typical American household now spends $208 more every month just to purchase the same basket of goods and services as a year earlier. And according to some numbers, around $1,000 more per month compared with early 2021 when the country was emerging from the pandemic. With these numbers at hand, are Americans buying into Trump's affordability push?
No, a recent poll just out this week showed that President Trump's approval rating on the economy, I think, is negative by almost 70 points. I mean, the American people see what's going on and they understand you can't just talk your way out of these economic numbers. And also, should be mentioned that at the same time that we're seeing these rises in prices, the federal minimum wage in America remains $7.25 an hour. It has been so for nearly 20 years. And there are certain states in the country where the state level minimum wage is actually $5.25 an hour. So there are places where you can work at a grocery store for $7.25 an hour, and after an hour not be able to buy anything in the grocery store that you work at. And this is unsustainable. This is not something that can survive for the average American person. And right now, with these mass deportations taking place, their goal, I believe, is to push many people who are currently in the middle class down into those lower class positions, so that you're going to be replacing immigrant labor with people who are currently middle class, because those are going to be the only jobs available. And that creates an even larger gap in our economic system between the poor and the rich. And it also benefits the people at the top of the economy. I think people did, for some reason, there's a large number of Americans that thought that when you elected a billionaire, somehow he was going to make everybody a billionaire. No, you elected a billionaire to make the billionaires trillionaires.
Robert Petillo, I want to stay with you for the next question. Just on the issue of discontent with the administration, lower-income families are looking at Donald Trump, who's more concerned about the new White House ballroom. And another issue I want to squeeze in here is the level of awareness that Americans have now on how Donald Trump has been putting Israel first, not America first. Something that has even divided the MAGA camp in America.
Yeah, there's actually a what they call the MEGA camp, which is the Make Israel Great Again portion of the Republican Party. And when you ran on a platform of America First, you ran on a platform of non-intervention around the world, no foreign wars, concentrating on American issues, and then everything that you've done has either been to the benefit of the Israeli government, meeting with the Saudis, making deals with the Qataris, threatening to invade Venezuela, the people are not seeing this being as America First agenda. And the folks who elected Donald Trump are struggling even more than ever, and they don't see the same attention being put towards domestic issues. Now, at the end of this year, in about 6 weeks, the Obamacare subsidies are going to be ending. Many as 7.2 million Americans will lose access to affordable health care come January 1st. There's absolutely no plan among President Trump or congressional Republicans to do anything about that. We just saw 42 million Americans have their food assistance payments be delayed. And if it wasn't for the Democrats ending the government shutdown, we would be seeing people starving for the holiday season. So there are real issues in America. And then when you see the president prostrating himself in front of the dictator of Saudi Arabia, dancing around with the funders of Hamas from Qatar, putting every part of American foreign policy in the hands of Israel, people rightfully are saying the concentration is not on the kitchen table issues of average Americans.
Sure. Clive Manzi's the job report itself, it was delayed for weeks due to the government shutdown, a disruption that was triggered by political brinksmanship in Washington. What are the macroeconomic costs, of a U.S. government shutdown? Because they always cost the economy billions of dollars. So why does Congress still do this?
Well, I think it's indicative of a system that is clearly not fit for purpose, but this has become almost an annual ritual of this brinksmanship. And somehow it seems to get resolved. But I think it's indicative of a much wider issue. When you talk about, you know, people having to spend more to put things in their shopping basket, I think, I don't know, I have no direct experience of what's happening in the States, but certainly in the UK, what seems to be happening is that there's a sort of a leapfrogging effect as, you know, business costs go up, so they put up their prices. And it's almost like one's in a situation where they're trying to get the prices, they're seeing what they can get away with rather than maintaining any sort of semblance of trying to make life easier for customers. So in terms of the government shutdown, what that will do is obviously it will lead to costs. But you think about, your last guest talked about Israel and make Israel great again. I mean, the amounts of money that have been spent by Western governments on Ukraine, on Israel, on the COVID PSYOP, on the green agenda, all of these things have been sucking resources out of the ordinary people's pockets and their energy.
Okay, we're going to have to leave it there. Thanks to political activist and attorney Robert Petillo joining us from Washington, D.C. Also, thanks to researcher and commentator Clive Menzies joining us from the British capital, London. And, of course, a special thanks to you for staying with us on tonight's edition of Spotlight. It's good night for now.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum. A very warm welcome. You're listening to Islamic Upbringing on IONIB English Radio. This is your host, Zainab. And in this program, we discuss the topics that are important for Islamic upbringing of your children. Answers of our guest speakers are based on the noble book of Holy Quran and also the narrations from Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him and his purified family. And we also take help from the narrations of the noble imams. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon them. Well, today we are going to discuss a very important topic. We hand our children screens to keep them quiet. But in doing so, have we silenced their souls? In a world that never stops entertaining, perhaps the most precious gift we can give our children is the quiet that allows them to reflect or to meet themselves. So yeah, that's what we are discussing today. So our guest is Muhammad Liaqat Abbas. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam, sister.
A very warm welcome.
Thank you so much.
So brother, you know, like when our child is crying or, you know, making some noise, or I want to sit on my laptop and do some work, I just hand over our devices to them. We hand over the screens to them and keep them entertaining. But do you think in this phase we have stolen a moment of self-reflection and creativity from our children?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Indeed, if we look at people, they normally always have something or the other in their schedule to make their kids busy with.
Mm-hmm.
Example, even themselves, like when we are bored and we don't want to do anything, we normally grab our phone or we take out our laptop, watch a video, a movie, a clip, short clip, some short videos and stuff. and so on. The list is a lot. And for our kids, we turn on the TV, cartoons, and so on, unfortunately, because we don't know how to direct ourselves towards this boredom time where a person is bored or feeling bored, or even for our kids as well.
Yeah.
We don't direct them. We always want our kids to be involved in something.
Yeah.
So there's some activity going on. So unfortunately, it shouldn't be the case. And the solution to it is, I would say, silence is not emptiness, or boredom is not emptiness. When you're feeling bored, when you're feeling that you're idle, you don't have anything to do, or you don't want to do anything, example, make it as an opportunity for divine connection.
Indeed.
This is the missing link normally. If we see in the Holy Quran, in Surah Ali Imran, Surah number 3, Ayah number 191, Allah 190 and 191, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna fi khalqis samawati wal ard wa ikhtilafil layli wan nahari la ayatin li ulil albab. So definitely in the creation of the heavens and the earth, wa ikhtilafil layli wan nahari, and the alteration of the night and the day, la ayatin, there are signs for the people of understanding. Mm-hmm. And then Allah continues, الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ. So those are the people of Albab, understanding, who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when they are standing, when they are sitting, وَعَلَى جُنُوبِ, when their sides, when they turn from one side to another side, وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, and they reflect in the creation of the heavens and the earth, رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا Batila, and they say, oh Allah, oh our nurturer, seeing that the term nurturer is being used, ma khalaqta, you have not created this in vain, and subhanaka, so, and then glory be to you. So you see, this verse is talking about when they remember Allah sitting, standing, and this normally happens in quietness, in silence,
when you are in quiet moments. Right. So It's a huge message. We will reflect on this, and until we reflect, we'll take a short break. Dear listeners, don't go anywhere. Stay tuned.
Give thanks to Allah for the moon and the stars. Praise Him all day for what is and what was. Take hold of your iman. Don't give in to Shaitan. Oh, you who believe, please give thanks to Allah. Allahu Ghafoor, Allahu Rahim, Allahu Yuhibbul Muhsinin, wa Khaliquna, wa Rasiquna, wa Huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing, and Brother Muhammad Liaqat Abbas is with us. So we said the quiet moments that we try to fill up with entertainment. And in today's world, like, we have a lot of, I would say, apps, devices to keep us engaged, like not to give us that silent moment of reflection, creativity. But you said that there are people of reflection who reflect in the creation of the heavens and the earth, and then they reach the conclusion to the nurturer, and then say, glory to be the one who created us.
So, you know, reflection or tadabbur, what it is called
in the Holy Quran,
it requires space and it requires silence. So it requires mind free from the external chatter, the external clutter, you see. It actually kind of requires boredom.
Yeah.
The boredom, the reality of boredom is actually like where a person is just idle, not having anything to do. And this is a place, I would say, which can become a place for tafakkur, where...
A
place of reflection, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding the believers to do أفلا يتدبرون أفلا يتفكرون why mm-hmm. don't you comprehend why don't you do
تدبر contemplate,
you,
yeah.
you have to contemplate exactly mm-hmm. so and it was the practice of the prophets especially mm-hmm. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi and the holy imams alaihi wasallatu wasalam they used to cut off from the world for a while in order to do tafakkur
mm-hmm.
they wanted this silence time
so the they would buy this silence
yeah exactly yeah
mm-hmm.
even if it would cost them to sacrifice their sleep they would wake up in the mid of the nights and they would go alone example it is narrated from Salman al-Muhammadi that once he went into a garden there was a garden of date trees
mm-hmm.
and he saw Amir al-Mu'mineen Imam Ali alayhi salam doing munajat to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Mm-hmm.
And Imam got so much indulged in that he fainted because mm-hmm. of that munajat, that speaking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The whispers, the whispered prayers, what it is called, yeah, munajat.
Yeah.
So when you see your kid, your child in a state of idleness, then you can encourage them to spend a few minutes, like example, before going to sleep or in their boredom, to ask to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or example, suggest them a dua, like give them a dua in their hand, like dua kumal, any dua, munajat shabaniya, or a dua from Saif al-Sajjadiyah, example. And tell them to read the translation itself.
Right.
So this is an opportunity. Make it into a golden opportunity. Rather
right.
than pushing them towards entertainment,
right.
push them towards the connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Right. Yeah. So you also remind me of something. I will discuss that after a short break. Dear listeners, don't go anywhere. Stay tuned.
Ya muqiya al-khayrat Ya muqiya al-khayrat Ya
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said, "Honor your children and teach them good manners."
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. Brother Muhammad Liaquat passes with us. So you said that we should sometimes allow the quiet moments. It's not necessary that we fill up the hands of our children with phones or any other entertaining device. Rather, give them these quiet moments to reflect. You know, we were teaching Islamic subject together like in a school, and we had a meeting, like two Islamic teachers had a meeting together. And then this teacher told me that he gives students the ayats and tells them to reflect on them. And then he said that they came up with such important points from the ayat that were not even found in the tafsir itself. So see, like when you give children some creative time, they come up with something, you know, something remarkable.
Indeed, definitely. So it's the greatest of conversations with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happen in silence.
Right.
And we have seen this like munajat shabaniya, that is the whispered prayers of Shaban. It is also called the whispered prayers of Urafa.
The mystics.
So, yeah, the mystic scholars.
Mm-hmm.
They seek tawassul through this dua to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Right.
Through, and of course, getting very high spiritual stages.
Mm-hmm.
And the most profound ideas, the most beautiful of ideas are found in silences, in stillness. It is the silences which it is in the silences that that people have gone much closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Right.
And normally, when a person is cut off, he will feel the need that he is in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is in need of that rope which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept for us. That is the Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam and the Holy Quran. So that is when a person will feel the need towards going towards an external, like other than the people around himself or mm-hmm. herself,
right?
Other than them, he should go to another divine force, which mm-hmm. is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself.
Right.
So when the person is surrounded by the love of parents, mm-hmm. the love of children, the love of spouses, example, be it wife or husband, the love of relatives, when he or she is surrounded by all of them, the need is getting fulfilled from one side or the other.
Right.
It is when you cut off from everyone that you will feel the exact love which is actually needed. Yeah. The love of Allah and the love of Ahlul Bayt.
Right.
Teach your children this love. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now just think that we are no longer existing for you.
Yeah.
You should tell your child, we are no longer existing. You have lost us, example, okay? Mm-hmm. Can you say this or not? We'll discuss it later, inshallah.
Mm-hmm.
And now you have only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Mm-hmm.
After you die, it's you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We mm-hmm. are not there. Okay, if Allah wills, we will be there, definitely, for sure. That is, again, upon the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So build your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this beautiful time of silence which you have. Build your connection. And it is also even for us, it is also for the parents, you see. It's very important that we have to take a time of silence, a time cut off from everything
right.
to build a relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Ahlul Bayt and the Holy Quran. Inshallah, this happens.
Thank you for all those valuable insights. So thank you for coming to the show as well. That was all the time we had for today.
Thank you.
Dear listeners, I would like to add one important point to our discussion. That is, we said the moments of silence are extremely important. They should be used for reflection, creativity, and making connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But also in many narrations, we have that a silent mind, a free mind, a free mind is a place of devil. So it's very important for parents to be monitoring, to direct their children towards reflection, to direct the children towards creativity. For parents themselves as well, it's important to direct that silence towards some self-reflection and creativity. Thank you so much for listening. You were listening to IRIB English Radio. Until another episode, take good care. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way.
This is for a better life.
فرمود بعثت لأتمم مكارم الأخلاق.
The Holy Prophet of Islam says, I have been sent to complete noble manners.
In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. When the heart breaks, the light enters. When the soul weeps, it begins to see. Every wound is a door to wisdom. Peace and blessings, dear listeners. Welcome to For a Better Life on IRIB English Radio, where we explore the wisdom of life through the lens of faith, poetry, and truth. This is Nahid having the honor of being with you on this episode. Today, we speak of something that touches every heart. Pain. The pain of loss, failure, heartbreak, or disappointment. No one escapes it, but few understand it. For those who believe pain is not the end, it is the beginning. Every hardship, when faced with faith, becomes a teacher. And as Sa'di said, the thorns of sorrow bloom into roses of insight. Sa'di's world was not free from pain. He traveled through wars, poverty, and exile. Yet he wrote, "The diamond is born under pressure. The rose grows from the thorn. The soul matures in hardship." He saw pain not as a punishment, but as purification, a sacred fire that burns away illusion and leaves behind clarity. The Holy Book of Quran says, "And we will surely test you with something of fear, hunger, loss of wealth, and lives and fruits. But give glad tidings to the patient." And in another verse we hear, "Perhaps you dislike a thing which is good for you, and love a thing which is bad for you. Allah knows, and you do not." These verses teach us, hardship is not rejection, it is refinement. What feels like loss may be the very soil of growth. Imam Ali alayhi salam had said, "Don't hate what befalls you, for every drop of pain carries wisdom unseen." Imam Sadiq alayhi salam also mentions, "When Allah loves a servant, he tests him, for through pain the soul becomes clean." And Imam Hussein alayhi salam at the battlefield of Karbala transformed the ultimate suffering into the eternal strength. He didn't curse the pain, he embraced it as the path to truth. In their example, we see faith does not remove pain, it transforms it. Now, pain awakens the sleeping heart. When life is easy, we forget to reflect. Hardship makes us humble. Pain teaches empathy. The one who has suffered can truly comfort others. Pain purifies intention. In suffering, we see what really matters. Pain strengthens resilience. As Sadi says, "The wind tests the tree, and the storm reveals its roots." Now, let's hear a story of Sadi Shirazi after a very short break.
ارتباطتون رو با خدا قوی کنید. در مسائل دینی به نقاط عقلانی و ظریف.
Improve your connection with God. Pay attention to logical and detailed points in religious issues and learn them from great masters. There are sentiments in religion, but they rely on deep ideality and deep thought. This thought must be learned.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
Welcome back to For a Better Life on the episode of Pain. Understanding it, finding it a door to improvement, and knowing the way our faith can transform it. A man once asked Sadib, "Why does God the Merciful allow pain?" Sadi replied, "Because mercy without wisdom would spoil us. He gives bitterness to awaken the taste for sweetness." In Islamic thought, pain is not cruelty, it's a medicine, often bitter, but healing. Imam Ali alayhi salam had said, "When Allah wants to elevate a servant, he cuts from him the ropes of comfort." And Sa'di tells of a potter who made a perfect vessel, but it cracked in the kiln. He wept for his loss, then he looked inside and saw the light shining through the crack. Had it not broken, Sa'di wrote, the light could not have entered. In the same way, when life breaks us, something divine enters. A deeper patience, a clearer insight, or a quieter heart. Now, how to transform our pain into wisdom, or what can we know about this transformation? Well, the first thing can be acceptance. Accept, don't resist. Dear listeners, denial deepens the pain. Acceptance begins healing. The next step might be seeking meaning, not blame. Asking, what is this teaching me, instead of why me? Turning to Allah in dua. Every heartbreak is an invitation to a deeper prayer. Helping others through our pain, healing grows faster when shared. And remembering Allah. As Sadi said, the night will not last. Dawn is faithful to return. Now, in today's world, we are taught to escape pain with distractions, entertainment, or even denial. But true healing begins when we face it. Sadi's wisdom and the Quran's light invite us to feel the pain fully, but not to live in it.
Is it satisfied? Is Allah satisfied? Is Allah satisfied?
Pain becomes poisonous when it's ignored. It becomes wisdom when it is embraced. Now, let's ask these questions from ourselves. Take a moment of thinking about them, and then decide on the changes on our way. Do I see my pain as a curse or a lesson? Have I let my suffering make me bitter or better? What strength or insight did the hardship give me that ease could not? Can I help someone else through the wisdom of what I've endured? So, dear listeners, the garden doesn't bloom without the rain. The rose does not open without a struggle. And the believer doesn't grow without trials. Pain, when held with faith, becomes the soil of wisdom. Every tear waters a seed of light. Sa'di whispers to us across centuries. The wound of the heart is where love enters. The burn of sorrow is where light begins. And in the Holy Book of Quran, we are assured, indeed, with hardship comes ease. So if you are in pain right now, remember, know, and repeat this. Allah is near, the night will end, the wound will teach, and one day you will thank Him for what once broke you. And as we close today's reflection, I say to you with warmth and pray, may your heart find light in its cracks, the same way as Sa'di described in his poem. May your pain become your wisdom, as we are supposed to act upon in this way, as our imams have mentioned. And may your soul bloom like the rose that grows from the thorn. Until our next episode, I wish you wisdom. I wish you good moments while you're struggling with any challenges that might be on our way. We all know that our lives are busy, hectic, and sometimes mind-blowing, but still, we can stay strong and we can believe in the rose that will grow after this heavy rain. Until the next time on For a Better Life, I wish you farewell. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
The only thing that remains is that feeling of warmth in your heart. That will always be there, be there. Thank you.